say that? It was a...
Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum, right. Rick Santorum. Former presidential candidate.
Yeah.
Rick Santorum, former Republican presidential candidate, hired by CNN. Look, he doesn't have his own show, but on like election night coverage or, you know, somebody that you can just go to, a correspondent, you know, he'll come on and get asked a few questions and off he goes. We're not talking, Ronna McDaniel is not going to have her own show. She's just going to offer a different perspective like Geraldo does on Fox, like Juan Williams does on Fox News. You know, and of course, you know, when we, anytime I hear Juan Williams, I want to shut the guy up and throw things at my television. But that's good. That's good. That keeps you there. That's good television. But like I was saying earlier, when you get 10 people in a circle all agreeing with one another and patting each other on the back, I'm sorry, but where's the excitement there? Where's the drama? And what's going to keep me? What's going to retain me as a viewer to that? It's just an extra element to the show that is not in agreement with. I watch Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
He'll go to Democrats regularly, and he always says the same thing. You know, I love this guy. We get along. The guy comes out. He comes to my house. So we spent Thanksgiving 1 year together. We agree to disagree and. Boom. He has them on, and then they disagree philosophically. It's nothing personal. It's offering a different perspective. I think by not having Ronna McDaniel on NBC is a loss. Anyhow, good morning. It's Gary Byron, 7-Eleven here on this hump day. Glad to have you on board the old morning train. Our first guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair. Knows a little bit about journalism. I mean, he made the rounds on local television affiliates starting over at NBC Connecticut. He went to Fox 61, went to News Channel 8. He ran for state senate one time many moons ago. But he's ours now. And he's been ours.
We
for
like him
probably
a lot.
A couple of years. He's with us every Wednesday morning. Let's welcome back to the show from gcolly.com, a website I strongly encourage you to visit some point today. Let's welcome back to the show George Colley. George, good morning.
Mr. Gary Byron, good morning to you. Good morning, Producer Joe.
How are you?
We're doing all right. We're doing all right. I'm listening to this and following this whole Ronna McDaniel story and realizing that what I've been doing as this government media watchdog, God, I'd have no shot ever working at any Connecticut stations if this is the mentality that they had it in Connecticut. I mean, they can't take any criticism. And that's a really sad state.
I mean, you can disagree with me if you'd like. If you think that it's good that they fired her after only a few days, you know, that she doesn't belong there. I mean, I'd love to hear that argument. But I won't. The excuse I won't buy is because she's of a different political ilk, so to speak. That, you know, she's not like-minded with the rest of her cohorts. At the news desk. In fact, that's the reason why I think she would be successful there. But if you disagree, I'd love to hear your argument to it.
I wish I could disagree with you on it. Here's the problem that I have right now with NBC saying this, right? I mean, all of the quote-unquote journalists at NBC News, their on-air journalists came out and saying, you know, how you know, Chuck Todd going on a rant, and then Rachel Maddow, and then Mika and Joe. I mean, they've got all their people all kind of aligning here. This is the same news network who their main guy, Lester Holt, who I have a lot of respect for. Lester Holt, I mean, everything that I know from my friends at NBC that work at NBC, he is exactly the guy that you want to work with in a newsroom, right? I mean, just a hardworking guy, always, you know, worked every holiday. I mean, filled in. I mean, worked his way up through it. I mean, a guy you can respect. He's the leader of that newsroom. But he came out a couple years ago and basically saying, you know what, in journalism, you don't have to two sides the story. And that became like the battle cry for many of these liberal news networks that feel like they don't have to give another side because, you know, they don't need to two sides this story. And, you know, while if somebody comes on air and says, you know, the sky is green and the moon is made of cheese. You should probably say, I don't think that's true. You know, that's not factual. I mean, that goes against all common sense. Yeah. But what it's turned into is that anybody who disagrees with them on a political stance or gives a different political opinion shouldn't be listened to, should be censored, should be shut down, should be completely ignored, can't be listened to, you can't hear them. Right to the point where now NBC News doesn't even carry speeches by a former president when he wins, an historic primary night. And it's become accepted. They would rather have their gaggle of women mock people from West Virginia than actually listen to the guy who you just had, three months of around the clock coverage of a primary, and you're not even showing the speech of the winner that we've tuned into all night long to see.
Aren't the Democrats and the left-leaning networks all about diversity?
Unfortunately, I think every single company right now is all
about
diversity.
But wouldn't diversity, wouldn't that be mean being inclusive, right? Not just diversity in color of your skin or religion or gender or orientation. I mean, even of thought, correct. You know, if you really are for diversity, why not keep Ronna McDaniel on staff, and listen to a diverse perspective on a political issue?
I mean, here's another thing that I think about with Ronna McDaniel, and maybe we're in a little bit of a vacuum here in Connecticut and the East Coast. In terms of hearing from, anybody kind of conservative, I mean, unless you watch Newsmax or you watch Fox News or you listen to Gary Byron. But it just seems as though we have entered this time where, like you had said, if 10 people are sitting around, and they all need to agree with each other, that sounds more like a cult than a news organization. it's just gotten to a point where people's, they can't take somebody having a different opinion. And when the fact is, if newsrooms are leading the charge in that, I think it's absolutely the most dangerous sign yet that we of where things are headed in this country. You watch MSNBC right now and you watch Fox News. I mean, you could hear the same story and it'll be completely different story. I mean, each side they may not give, Fox News gives the other side, like you said, but MSNBC, you won't even hear it. And the fact that this is being celebrated, this type of census being celebrated is crazy to me. And Ronna McDaniel, let's be honest, who in your audience, Gary, is tuning into MSNBC to hear what Ronna McDaniel has to say about the news?
Nobody.
Nobody. I mean, it's one thing when NBC hires George Bush's daughter, Jenna, right, who's a lovely person, whose family has been in politics, and she can get a little bit ideological, but she stays away from it. And NBC was pretty hard against her father, basically calling him, Hitler. I mean, everything they said about Trump, they said about George Bush at one point. And there wasn't really a huge backlash there.
But she's also not doing, Today, the Today Show is not necessarily a political show.
It's not a political show.
No, she'll talk about puppies, one morning. So, I mean,
which is fine. And by the way, I would love to hear her talk about puppies because she seems like a lovely person. You know what I mean? This whole story, it doesn't seem like it's very well thought through. MSNBC, the journalists didn't think much when they put the White House secretary on at primetime, within months of her leaving office.
Oh, Pataki?
Not exactly somebody who spewed nothing but truth, from the podium when she was there.
Well, what about Brian Williams when he was their national anchor? And he was fabricating stories that, oh, yes, I was in Iraq, or, oh, yes,
it was in a helicopter.
And Joe and I were talking about that during a commercial break. You're right. Remember the helicopter story? Exactly.
It's just gotten to a point where I think that's really dangerous. I mean, what Republicans would be suitable for NBC at this point? I mean, I'm thinking Liz Cheney is the only one.
They'd probably hire her. You funny that you bring her up because she crossed my mind I don't know what maybe was it yesterday or the last couple of days. I'm like, it's an interesting choice, Ron McDaniel. Like, I'm surprised he didn't go to like a Liz Cheney or a Mitt. Well, Mitt's still in office, but you know when he comes out of office. I don't know if he'd want it, if he'd take it. I think he wanted.
He's got too much money to want to get into that.
True. But I think Liz. I mean, Liz is an author. She's a historian, and her. You know, I think she'd probably make a better fit with MSDNC than Ron McDaniel. But although, hey, Ron McDaniel, whatever. You know,
at the same time, you know, none of these NBC journalists that are going crazy about Ron McDaniel, you know. When they were holding the January 6th, you know, hearings, you know, summer primetime, you know, ABC produced, you know, congressional hearings, and they only gave half the story, and they didn't interview any, and they didn't allow any Republicans or people who supported the president in any way to speak. I mean, there was no cry about, you know, fairness and being fair to the truth there. And then we find out that you know most of the video they didn't show stuff that seemed really important, like the cops walking people through the building. You know, it's just another thing that, you know, just another, you know, kind of pinprick in the balloon of trust here that we have with the media, that I think is going to really hurt him in the long run. You know, I mean, I don't think Ronna McGain is going to make or break NBC. I don't think anybody would have noticed she got hired. I don't think anybody would have noticed if she was on there. I don't think anybody would notice if she left.
It shows how much power Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell and how they have. I mean, they usually that's a administrative decision. That's management, not on-air talent, but. I mean, they barked loud enough and to the point where they got rid of, I don't know. I wonder what Ronna's contract stipulated. I don't know if she's going to be paid a severance or whatnot. I'd be curious to find out. We got to take a break here. And then when we come back, I want to ask you if you've noticed anything similar when you made the rounds on local television, if you witnessed anything similar. Coming right back with George Colley right after this.
The U.S. government is $32 trillion in debt. How do you think that affects your retirement savings? Hi, this is Russ Stone of Scranton Financial Group in South Windsor. I work with Dave Scranton to help you develop strategies that protect and build your wealth. Dave has built a career out of helping people achieve financial freedom in every economic condition we've ever faced. Join us this Saturday at noon on the Talk of Connecticut as Dave unravels the financial complexities in terms you can use and understand. For more information, go to ScrantonFG.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I need new oil for my truck. Really, I need a new truck.
Mobil 1 is giving away a 2024 Chevy Colorado ZR2. When you pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic with an STP extended life oil filter for $35.99, you're entered for a chance to win.
Whoa.
Other prizes include a year's supply of Mobil 1 or a $100 gift card.
Never been so excited for an oil change.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
No purchase necessary. Terms at AutoZone.com. Ends 5/27/20.
To start the day, Gary Byron and the Talk of Connecticut. Listen without a subscription on the Talk of Connecticut free listening app.
23 minutes after the hour of 7, our guest, of course, from gcolley.com, and the Connecticut Capitalist, right? Forgot to mention that earlier. George Colley. George.
Absolutely.
Yes. When
everybody's favorite news aggregate site. Just check it out every day.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. No, you're right. It's part of gcolley.com, though. It's part of the whole enterprise. When you were
the empire.
When you were making it's right. It's right. We gotta get you to move back to Connecticut, though. When you were part of like NBC Connecticut or News Channel 8 or even at Fox 61, and your assignment editors, you know, told you where to go or what they wanted you to cover, or how important was it for you to get more than one perspective? And were you ever censored or I know you're edited. We were all edited.
Yeah.
But that's usually for time because you found out that you only had, you know, a minute and 15 seconds and you put together an ENG piece that's like, you know, a minute 45 or something. So, but it's one thing to be edited for time. It's another thing to be edited for content. So were you ever subject to that at any of the stations that you were at?
So it's a great question. And I mean, I could actually go on with individual stories kind of all day where there was different challenges. Here's what I'll say. I mean, when we did, and this is a good example of it. When I was doing the Crumbing Foundation story, this was a story we would start, you know, we did 55-minute stories on that with nobody else covering that story at the time, you know, on the 11 o'clock news at NBC Connecticut. Those stories, when we would put them together and we would write them, and we would then have to go through the legal and standards team at 30 Rock. You know, this was an investigative story. They could get sued. I mean, everything had to be right. And we would have battles over what to put in, words, you know, you got to change this way, got to change this word. And it wasn't a bias. It was more to cover yourself. And I loved it. Because when I went on air with my story and I had basically every lobbyist at the state capitol representing somebody on the other side of that story, I was really confident in what I was putting out there. I had a team of 10 people that were looking through this stuff. We had lawyers, we had standards people, the best people, you know, that NBC had. And while we would battle every single day and we would have the lawyers involved every single morning, it was a complete headache, I'm sure, for the NBC management, but they let me do it. And it paid off for them. You know, I mean, they got a lot of awards with that story, and there have been 1,000 homes that have been fixed. And it's, you know, there probably isn't a journalism news story that's had an impact on more individual people than that story in Connecticut in our lifetime. And I'm very proud of that. And I credit NBC for, one, giving the time. Normally with these stories, it's one and done. You do the story and you don't hear from it again. NBC let us do 55-minute stories at 11 o'clock at night. That's unheard of. Most television news stories are 90 seconds. So that's an example of where NBC was really good. Now, I've worked at other places where, let's say, I investigated a company in Connecticut that may have a monopoly over an industry that isn't necessarily the most popular company out there, and we would do stories investigating them. All of a sudden, they weren't, like, working to make sure the story was right. They would come in and say, oh, yeah, that company just sponsored the parade last week. Hint, hint, wink, wink, we're not going to be covering them anymore. Mm. That's a very different way to do things. Now, in terms of dealing with, like, pushback, you know, I dealt with it in a couple different ways, and it's nothing that, you know, that I wasn't prepared for it at first. When I first got on air at Fox 61, I hadn't been on air anywhere before. I had run for state senate a year before that. I had never been a journalist, and all of a sudden, I was getting a chance to be on air at Fox Connecticut and to write for the Hartford Courant. There were people who were lifelong in that newsroom who were not happy about that. I mean, I was 40 pounds overweight. I didn't have hair on my head, and all of a sudden, they got some guy with no experience rolling into a newsroom that had just laid 100 people off a month before that. I mean, it wasn't exactly the most friendly place at times, but I earned myself. I earned my peak. While I wasn't smooth on air, while the first story I wrote for them was 4 minutes long when they wanted a minute and 20
what
seconds.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What years were you in the building? You were at the Hartford Courant building, right?
Yes. I started in May of 2010.
Okay.
And I worked there until November of 2012.
All right. I was there that entire duration. I was even there during when Fox was in the Stilts building in downtown Hartford.
I got moved to the New Haven bureau pretty quickly.
Okay.
So that was
that's why I wasn't
around the newsroom as much.
So Graziano hired you, right?
That Graziano and Colleen Marin. Yeah,
okay.
Colleen was the news director.
Colleen Marin, right. Okay.
And so I'll say, so that was a little bit of a different time. Now, when I started at NBC Connecticut, my next job, my first day was Sandy Hook. Now, I had worked in Connecticut market for 2 or 3 years. I think people knew me as a workhorse. They knew that I had good sources and contacts. It was a very different arrival for me when I arrived there. You know, when I got to Channel 8, when I came back from Washington, there was a problem in the newsroom that I didn't know about when I got hired.
I only have 1 minute.
A little bit of a problem.
Okay.
And that was that, I guess, that when I got hired and my job was posted, it hadn't been posted for the full month. So there were people that wanted to apply for an investigative job that weren't able to. That made it a little bit awkward when I got there. It wasn't under anything that I had done. So I've been in newsrooms where it's a little bit awkward, where people don't, you know, where you don't really know where you stand. But you know what? It's going to be like that wherever you go. So you suck it up and you work hard, and all of a sudden they like
it. That's it. That's exactly it.
And I think Ronna McDaniel would have been that way. She would have been somebody they could turn to give a different perspective in a crunch when they needed it. And even if she's not the most popular person, maybe as a Republican, to do it, she would have been
well. And you want to know what? And that's why they tank in the ratings, and why Fox trumps the other stations. I got to let you go, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Oh no, thank you. Always great stuff from you, George. We'll talk next Wednesday. All right, when we come back, outlet. Open phone
for breaking news for Vernon, Canton, and Rocky Hill. The Talk of Connecticut, AM 1360, FM 103.3.
Driving down the highway? Oh, maybe you're heading down Route 2 or Route 9 or, oh, I don't know, 91 South. Got us on 103.3 FM or AM 1360, WDRC, right? All of a sudden you start to lose our signal, and you're like, oh man, I meant to download the app, the Talk of Connecticut app, which is free. If you have a Droid, you go to the Google Play Store, or an iPhone with the Apple App Store. I forgot to do that. Well, you know, we're streaming 24/7 at talkofconnecticut.com, but you're driving, right? No time. Yep. Ain't nobody got time for that. You have an alternative. You can tune on our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair, because he's doing his show the same days and hours we do ours here, except he's down along the shorelines. He gets the he gets the nice scenery down there. It's welcome back to the show, Lee Elsie.
What's up, buddy?
What do you say, brother?
I don't know. What do you say?
How are you doing?
What's going on? I got a little toothache today.
Oh man, don't you
for
hate
a couple
those?
Days?
Do you have a good dentist? Do you have a good dentist?
I love my dentist.
No. It can't be any better than mine, man.
I feel like we've talked about this. Yes, I know you have a great one. I love my dentist though. Although I have a new dental hygienist, but she's very rough. Throws me around.
Ooh, that's not seen. Yeah. No, that's not good.
She's Russian too. She's Russian, and she throws me around.
Is her name Inga?
I'm not sure.
Natalia.
Natasha.
Natasha. Yes.
And then Bullwinkle comes in to pull my teeth out. Yeah, something like that. What's going on in Hartford, man? What's happening,
man? In Hartford, a lot of crime, man. A lot of crime.
I know.
Break-ins. Breaking into cars, 43 at a time, and. Cops are right there, and they just, I don't know, wave to them. Hey, we're not coming after you, dude. Go ahead. Finish your job.
That's it. Yeah. Drive away.
Sure.
I think we've had 6 shootings in New London here in the last week. How about that?
Lawless. Well, welcome. These are the times, man. This is progressivism. Welcome.
Yeah, on steroids. I agree. This is what they want. Do they really want the chaos? Is this what they're looking for?
They vote for him time in and, you know, they can't wait to vote for him again. So it must be what the people want, you know. You know what it is? They're one-issue voters. You know, it's abortion. That's their issue.
Oh,
they keep and here's the thing. The Democrats, they bring it back to life, no pun intended, every election cycle. It's not even an issue anymore. None at all. It's done. Connecticut, you can get as many abortions as you want. You can fly your friends from out of state here. And not only can they get their abortion here, we'll foot the bill for it, including the hotel stay and the airfare. They're going to get their abortion. Don't worry. It's not going anywhere. So can we please move on to other issues that right now are more imminent?
Okay.
Don't mean with you. I mean, you know.
I think you're right.
In general, it's like.
But
the Dems are going to use the scare tactic that the Republicans are trying to take it away here in Connecticut. Just like on the national scale, the Democrats, they always love to say, hey, the Republicans want to take, they want to cut back on your Social Security. Nothing could be further from the truth, you know. But they use that all the time as bait, you know, so that, we can't go for that. We can't vote for the Republican. It's not going to happen. Nothing's further from the truth. Again, they're lies to get you to vote because they want to mask the crap that they're trying to institute and that would really negatively impact your life. But you know, I'll get off my soapbox now. Go ahead.
Well, the problem though, and I think you're right. I've been talking probably with you a little bit about abortion since the 2022 election, when I thought there was going to be a red wave and there wasn't. And I think that, and the same thing could be said about 2020. I think that part of that election certainly was abortion related. So to me, if you're now a Republican, and even if you're 100% pro-life, right, and you believe, you know, life begins at conception. You have a choice. You have to say, you have to come out and say, I think it's morally wrong, but I will never vote against, you know, where we are, which a lot of people won't do. So the question becomes, politically speaking, how do you navigate these treacherous waters? Because women, and I've talked to them, they don't believe the Republicans in Connecticut. They don't think that if they're, like, say they think that if they're given that sliver of opportunity to take away their right for abortion, they'll do it. And that's, I think, what's hanging over in particular, well, in Connecticut anyway, if that's what we're talking about, that's what's hanging over women and the voters and Republicans in Connecticut. There's no clear guarantee. You know where the Democrats are. They're, you know, for the most part, they're abortion on demand. And a lot of them are abortion all the way up to month 7, 8, and 9, which is, again, to me, murder. But they're all on the same page. Everybody who wants an abortion can get one. Republicans are scattered. And there's no unity there.
Isn't there like a day after pill?
There is.
You go. There's a problem solved. You know.
Well, isn't that pill they just voted about the latest abortion pill just the other day, saying no go on that one, right? Didn't they just go through that with the Supreme Court?
I don't know, man. They did.
But how do you do? I mean, how do you get a you know? Because I know people are torn, and rightfully so. If you're a good conservative and you believe that life begins at conception. How do you navigate that? How can you guarantee somebody? Well, listen, it's your morality. It's, you know, it's you the one who are going to have to live with that for the rest of your life, making that decision. I don't know. I don't know how you solve that problem. Yeah. That makes sense or
no? I get you.
I feel like I'm yelling on the edge of a cliff. No one's listening.
No. I was yielding to you because
I'll jump right now.
No. Please don't. I've talked one person off the ledge
today.
Not today.
All right.
But I feel like I monopolized the first, you know, 6-7 minutes anyway.
So you led us down a good political path. It's a good conversation.
Are you hanging out with P. Diddy this morning? Are you holding him? Are you hiding him, man? Because he's nowhere to be found at his two properties in California and Florida.
Somebody made a good comment the other day. How can you have an FBI raid of this, you know, this guy who you know has more money than God himself? How can you not secure his ways out of the country? Like, I guess he's got jets. You're not going to take, you know, have FBI agents at
Yeah, but his jets are in California. He's got a jet in California. He made a couple of stops. But Diddy wasn't in it, though. Diddy's hanging around in Florida.
Do we know? I don't know where he is.
Video of him, I think, walking around.
It's a colossal
He looked
mess,
lost.
Isn't it?
Oh, he knows. He's trying to get out of the country.
This is the tip of the iceberg, though, as far as people who are, you know, partaking in this horrifying scenario of, you know, not a child abuse and child abductions and just sex trafficking. I mean, this could be a huge story.
It's going to make R. Kelly look saint-like.
Well, it could be a huge story, man, with all the tentacles. Didn't I read yesterday where one of the royal family members were involved in this in some way, shape, or form, right? I think.
Is it not that Prince Andrew?
Again? Yeah, I think it was
Andrew's
Prince Andrew.
Andrew's name came up again.
See?
Anywhere creepers happen, yeah. Andrew's in the vicinity.
Andrew was hanging out on Pedo Island, right, with Epstein a while back. Isn't that why he got, like, divorced?
That I don't know. No, I thought it was the young one that was implicated. Is Andrew the young one?
Yeah, it was Prince Andrew on Epstein Island, and that Virginia, whatever her name is, the lead plaintiff in the Epstein case.
Right.
Yeah. She literally was like, "Yes, I slept with that guy a few times."
Right. No, that
and there's a picture of her with him.
We don't need to see
that. Taboo.
Yeah, but I thought there was a picture I saw the other day with the young. Who's one of Princess Di's kids? One of the kids.
Prince William and Prince Harry.
One of those two were, I saw a picture of him in.
Which one is him? They're both hims.
The only guy with the one with the beard. I don't know.
Oh, that's Harry, the one that's married to Meghan Markle.
Okay, so there was a picture of him next to Diddy.
I don't know why you know that.
It could have been just a. how do you know that?
Well, if you really want to know.
Yeah, well. I hope they take them all down, man.
Dang,
hope it's like a domino effect and they all go. But, you know, if we would have known by now if it was Epstein Island, we would have known this
How
list.
How come that list hasn't been released yet, by the way?
Yeah. All right, so now I'm getting confirmation. Prince Harry also was involved in some way, shape, or form. So there you go.
Prince Harry went to Pedo Island?
He was involved somehow with P. Diddy.
Oh, with P. Diddy?
Yeah, P. Diddy.
Well, what, like he got him tickets to a show or something? I mean.
Well, I don't know.
There's one thing.
I guess we're finding that out.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. I just getting confirmation that one of my other friends goes to the Russian dentist. That's
the Russian tea room. There's the Russian massage.
Yeah.
And now you got the Russian dentist. Boom, boom, like what really happens when you're under sedation from
was
doctor.
It tucked or untucked?
Ah, yes. Just untuck it, as they say.
Oh, I'm going to make you mad. I forgot to tell you this.
Oh, figures.
Are you ready?
No.
Guess where I'm going to be Saturday, 12 noon. Fenway Park, taking BP. How about that?
Because you're Mr. Ball Player. How did you get that?
Friends. I got friends in high places.
You're still friends with John Kruk, right?
No. I'm just going to go. I get 10 swings at Fenway Park. So if I don't hit one out, I'm going to be very bummed out.
They're counting? Like?
Yeah, you only get 10 now. You get 10 pitches.
Okay.
10 pitches. You don't even get 10 swings.
I'm jealous. Pitches. Yeah, I'll admit it.
So I just want to let you know. I know you're a big baseball guy, and that starts tomorrow.
It does.
Psyched?
I will be watching.
Yeah. You sit in front of the TV early?
I don't miss an opening day if I can help it.
Now, I forget. You're a Red Sox or Yankee
fan?
No,
Yankee fan.
Okay, Yankee fan.
You're right. You're
I'm actually a Red Sox. I grew up a Red Sox fan, but I mean, I've kind of lost that fandom. Red Sox ticked me off, so I'm more just a baseball fan.
So you're not even a Cardinals fan, huh? Because you were in their system. I figured by default that you would automatically just...
I have some affection for the Cardinals. You know, I watch, but I'm not a fan. I wasn't a fan growing up. Plus, they screwed me by firing me. Let's get out of here.
So it had the opposite effect on you.
Well, not really. But, I mean, you know, I still have all – I got the swag. I got a lot of paraphernalia
Let me ask you, if they called you up for one game, what kind of – like, let's say even if you went 0 for 3 or 0 for 4, just the fact that you get called up, according to the union, right, are you set with, like, health insurance for life or
– No. You have to play a certain amount of time to get help. I think it's 10 years, actually, in the bigs. To get health insurance for life. So I don't know, one game, two games, But you do get, like, I think if you get all kinds of different perks just for showing up in a big league game.
Showing up.
Showing up.
That's not a bad gig, cool. man. So, boy, if you could have just been called up for one game, man.
One game. You know, white baseballs for BP. You know, the scene from Bull Durham, right? Remember the scene in the bus when they were talking about taking?
Yeah. I saw it back in the 80s, man.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since. I like. There's some baseball movies that I love to revisit every offseason.
All right, what's your favorite baseball movie?
I loved For the Love of the Game.
That was a good movie.
It
underrated.
I loved 61. Mantle and Maris.
Sure.
That's a great one. Mm. 8 Men Out.
8 Men Out was good. I like The Natural, but Natural.
The Natural, of course, and Field of Dreams, I guess, would be in there. Oh, we got to take a break here, right?
Let's take a break.
All right, let's take 60 seconds.
Yankee Peddler and Pawn in East Hartford is Connecticut's premier pawn shop, paying you top dollar whether you are pawning or selling your items. It's also your first choice to find great deals on used items. Yankee Peddler and Pawn has everything from gold and silver jewelry to electronics, power tools, some musical instruments, and so much more. With nearly 200 five-star Google reviews, customer service is always their number one priority. Go see Joe at Yankee Peddler and Pawn at 7 Pitkin Street in East Hartford and tell them Gary sent you. When shopping for appliances, where do you stop first? A big box store? They might be your first stop, but Ferrari's Appliance will be your last. From laundry to dishwashers, stoves to refrigerators, Ferrari's Appliance has all the name brands at the price you can afford. And they install and service everything they sell. Enough with the pushy salespeople and impersonal customer service. Head to Ferrari's Appliance in Newington or Naugatuck and discover why people from all over choose them over everyone else. Online at Ferrari'sAppliance.com.
Gary Byron and Joe the producer have the pulse of Hartford. 103.3 and Litchfield, 104.5.
Yeah, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock, Lee Elsey from our sister station.
All right, welcome back.
Is our guest, as always.
Sister station team.
Every
Gary,
Wednesday
Joe.
At this time. Hey.
Hey.
All right, so during the break, we heard George Colley, who is always our guest in the 7 o'clock hour, he listens to the show. He loves our back and forth every week after him.
Okay.
So he's listening. He did a little homework for you.
Oh, okay.
Producer Joe did a little homework So listen to this.
Yeah, so George did. Prince Harry was named in the blockbuster Diddy sex trafficking lawsuit, according to DailyBeast.com. Pretty in-depth article there. And then you were rightly, by the way, 10 years to get the insurance for life. However,
yeah,
you need to play just one game to immediately be on the team's health insurance, and you're eligible for your pension after 43 games.
That's it, just 43 games.
Wow.
You get a pension.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Is it too,
I feel like,
is it too late for you, man? I'm sorry. No,
I think I can make a comeback. I feel like I was right on all accounts today. I feel like I was right on all accounts. Thank you, George, Collie, and Joe for you know, syncing that up. I was right on Prince Harry. I was right on the 10 years. I'm not going to do George Costanza. I'm going to walk off right now. That's it.
Mic drop. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Leave it on a high note.
Yes.
What else is going on in your world up there? What are you
I'm sorry to hear, man, because I know that you were going for it, that RFK Jr. didn't choose you as his running mate. I was sad to hear that. I know how much you were looking forward to it.
It would have been a nice run, yeah.
You know, I thought you would have brought some levity to the ticket. But
would have tried something. I mean, I don't know this woman. She's rich, I guess, and one of his big donors,
I think.
I guess
she's an attorney.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't go with someone with some cachet, a little name cachet, right? Don't you? I mean, not that he's not going to win, but
no,
maybe he siphons off some.
I heard Manchin and I heard Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah.
As two of the front runners. And then this Nicole Shanahan came out of nowhere. She's a California a philanthropist.
Yeah.
A lawyer, you know.
I think Trump may choose Tulsi.
I heard Marco Rubio. I heard Ron DeSantis, Kristi Noem, and Tulsi Gabbard.
Can DeSantis and him get back together? It's like a
boy, would that be a dream
bad
team
breakup.
Or what? Boy. Oh, boy. That would be nice. What do you think?
I like Tulsi Gabbard the best out of the four of them, to be honest with you.
Well, let me ask you why.
Because I think, she's a female, which is good, and she's a veteran, which is also good. I also like her. I know she's a Democrat, too, which, you know, she was a lifetime Democrat.
Well,
it's sort of a bringing together of sort of all of the issue. I don't know. I feel like that's a good team, but that's just, I think DeSantis and Trump together, I know you say it's the dream team, and it probably is, but how many new voters gravitate because of DeSantis? And you've already got Florida. So I don't know. I'm just, who knows? Not that, and Tulsi's got Hawaii, but that's not a difference maker.
Yeah,
so.
But how many, yeah, I mean, how
no,
many
No, she won't make a difference there,
no.
No. But I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting question. So you would rather have DeSantis?
I've always liked DeSantis. I've always liked him from day one. I think he's presidential. I think he's articulate. I think he stands with confidence. There's a little air of Reaganism in him that I see, and I've studied Reagan, man. I I know his cadence, I know his inflections, I know his sense of humor, and I know how he stands, and I mean that literally, how his poise and I see a lot of that in DeSantis, believe it or not, and I noticed that. Oh my goodness, probably a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe, you know, two white dudes at that, maybe isn't the most ideal. Maybe they do need a Tulsi Gabbard or a Tim Scott, or I don't know.
My friend of mine who is a political consultant now says Trump DeSantis is like Reagan Bush. He says, I like Tulsi Gabbard because she's hot. Well, that's partially true. There's a factor of that.
I told you. I mean, yeah, she's great. No. We had lunch, you know.
Did you?
No. I got to be careful. No, I don't want to. No, that's not true. I was just, I kind of thought you'd pick up on the joke there.
Oh, I thought, you never know. I know. Maybe you know who was in the audience? By the way, just, I know I'm all over the place. I didn't get a chance to get close to him to tell him that you would say hi, but I was at an event with Bill O'Reilly the other day. It was at Mohegan Sun.
You know, I thought I was going to get a birthday text from him yesterday, but I did not.
Yesterday was your birthday?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow. Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, man.
Lee, it was all over Facebook.
I didn't see. I don't know why. I'm blocked on Facebook.
You're blocked on Facebook? I didn't block you.
I'm blocked. Like, my Facebook account is really messed up, so I don't know.
I heard from everybody, man.
Happy birthday.
I heard from Donny Osmond. I heard from John O'Hurley. I heard from all my – I didn't hear from my boy Bill O'Reilly, though.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And he's like – I mean, that's like – we're brothers, man, you know. But
from, I, well, listen,
brothers from another mother, of course. Yes, yes.
if you say so.
Two different eras. Could be my father, actually. Yeah, I think about it.
Yeah. Probably more like your dad, I would think. Yeah, I'd be closer. I'm sorry that I missed your birthday. Did you have a special day?
I was waiting. I was waiting all day. I'm like, where the hell is Lee, man? Come on.
I let you down.
I never forgot his birthday.
I'll play a song, though. Hold on.
It's your birthday today.
Gary!
You guys are square now.
Yeah. Nothing like a little Danzig to wake you up in the morning. Yes.
There you go. Happy birthday. That's good.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank you.
Right. Are guys supposed to wish guys? I don't wish other guys happy birthday unless I don't know.
Wow.
It kind of falls in your lap. Seems a little aura about you here,
huh?
I'm just saying.
I never knew that rule.
Going out of your way to wish a happy birthday to your... I heard from
Princess Kate, everything. You know, she was hanging out at my house a couple weeks ago. She was trying to get away from the royals. And
name dropping like crazy this morning.
Hey.
Jesus, goodness gracious.
All right, man.
Have a great show, man.
You
happy
too,
birthday,
brother.
Gary.
We'll be back.
We'll talk next week.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Federal investigators have collected the data recorder from the ship that crashed into the...